morning. This is Joni Trussell, and I am Pandora's Box, the morning scene, and I am here today with Midge Kirk, who is a health educator, tobacco specialist at Montezuma County Public Health Department. And we welcome Midge.
Thank you, Joni. Thanks so much for having me.
And we're here today to talk about e-cigarettes. So I'm wondering if you could start by telling us, what is this e-cigarette all about?
Well, the e-cigarette is not new, although it's really sort of in, what I'm trying to say is, in, it's not new, but in this community, it's feeling new. There's been a resurgence of the introduction. Actually, 50% of our youth, an increase, have tried e-cigarettes. And it is a plastic device that will range anywhere in price from $5 to $100, and some of them are really fancy, and they have a Calrod unit in them, and the thing that ignites or that heats to cause the vapor, it's also called vaping. The thing that ignites and causes the heat is antifreeze. So you're inhaling propylene glycol, which is a wonderful thing to inhale. And they are sexy, they're smooth looking, and the industry is promoting them as a safe alternative and as a method for quitting. And we debunk both of those things as myth.
Okay, so can you tell us more about how you're debunking that idea?
Well, first of all, as I said, the e-cigarettes have caused our youth to experiment by about 50% more. And part of that is because the industry directly targets our youth. Some of the flavors like banana cream pie, bubble gum, coffee with cream and sugar, chocolate, those flavors are offered in this nicotine delivery system and definitely target youth. For example, in a memo from Philip Morris, and I'm quoting, "The teen years are also important because they are the years during which most smokers begin to smoke, the years in which initial brand selections are made, and the period in the life cycle which conformity to peer group norms is the greatest." Now, if you check out a recent edition of Sports Illustrated, you will see the beautiful ad for Blue, which is a very sexy electronic cigarette. And there's also, I've been told, a television ad that's targeting teens around Blue, the latest sexy e-cigarette.
And when they talk about them, they're talking about how safe they are.
They do say that they're safe, although the FDA has not approved the e-cigarette at all. There have been studies. Stan Glantz, Dr. Glantz from California, is one of the leading experts in this in the tobacco nicotine field, and he's done some independent studies out there that have shown conclusively that the top 10 cancer-causing ingredients in smoke also show up in the vapor. So to make the claim that it's harmless is really bogus.
So the only thing different between the e-cigarette and regular cigarettes is that there's no smoke.
Exactly. There's vapor.
But the level of nicotine in e-cigarettes,
that's a little bit scary because there's no regulation there either. So it can vary from brand to brand. And also what we're seeing is a trend for people who are using e-cigarettes, say, in a place where currently they can't smoke, but they can use this nicotine delivery system. What they're doing is doubling up. Then they're smoking more. So, in fact, they're smoking when they can smoke, and they're using the e-cigarette when they can't, and they're actually delivering more nicotine into their system than they might have been if they just smoked cigarettes.
So there's really no limitations in any of the work environments or in stores?
Currently there isn't, which we find very disturbing. It feels like we're taking one giant step back about 35 years.
So if you're just tuning in, this is Pandora's Box. I'm Joni Trussell. I'm here today with Midge Kirk, health educator, tobacco specialist at Montezuma Public Health Department, and we are talking about e-cigarettes. So I'm wondering, with the idea that they're now available and can be anywhere, if there's any impact on anyone else? I mean, secondhand ideas.
Well, if the top 10 cancer-causing ingredients show up in the vapor, as they do in smoke, I would definitely say it's a no-brainer that inhaling secondhand vapor I mean, are we talking degrees of safety? Is it 2 degrees safer? I'm not going to go there. You know, if the ingredients are there and we're breathing the vapor, it's dangerous.
And so you were talking about being in a store recently.
Yes.
Can you say a little bit more about that?
I was shopping locally, and there's this gentleman walking through the store merrily puffing away, and it was just a real shock for me. As I say, we fought long and hard to get the Clean Indoor Air Act passed so that smoking is prohibited indoors in public places, and here we are starting all over again with something we know is dangerous, that isn't regulated, that hasn't been completely tested, approved or disapproved, and we're just accepting it, and that really concerns me.
And you could tell that you were more aware of it because there was a smell or...
No, I didn't. I was shocked to see someone smoking in a store, and then I realized that it was vapor. I have to be honest, I did not notice an odor at all, but there was definite vapor in the air.
Okay. We're going to take a break right now. This is Pandora's Box, and we're talking about e-cigarettes, and we'll be right back. We're back with Pandora's Box. I'm Joni Trussell. I'm here today with Midge Kirk, a health educator, a tobacco specialist at Montezuma County Public Health Department, and we are talking about e-cigarettes. So, Midge, can you talk a little bit about what they have found about how lethal e-cigarettes can be?
I think you and I were talking earlier, and Dr. Oz just did a YouTube that we showed some of our kids, and they gloved up and took one drop of this nicotine oil that is used in the e-cigarette for vaping, and one drop on a fingertip is enough to compromise a child. And I think you had some statistics that talked about a teaspoon is enough to kill a child, and a tablespoon is enough to kill an adult. Nicotine is poison. I mean, it's used in pest control when it's poison.
So, and the example you used, it could be on a nightstand.
Yes, many times. And there's no regulation around packaging either. So you've got this little vial of grape-flavored wonderful stuff. I mean, it's so appealing to a child. Grape, cherry, bubble gum. And it just left around. The packaging is not childproof. And there have been, I think you had some statistics about this, the rate of increase in poison control center reports. And I don't have those numbers.
Right. But so since 2010, it's gone up to 215 calls per month related to e-cigarettes and poison.
Yeah.
So yes, it's definitely been increasing over the last 4 years. And from what I understand, it's been around since 2005?
Yes, 2004, 2005. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So the other thing that I was curious about is what you know about how it's been studied at this point, like the FDA and the...
It hasn't been. And that, again, is, to me, a very alarming thing. There have been some independent studies, as I mentioned earlier, Dr. Stan Glantz, who is an expert in the field, but that's an independent study. The FDA hasn't touched this. So here, the major marketing thrust is a safer alternative, a cessation method. All of these claims being made are really just blowing smoke, if you'll excuse the expression. These studies have not been done. And something else I want to mention, because a lot of people don't think about this. Many of us have beloved pets, and the vapor and smoke from cigarettes are very toxic to them as well. I just did a cessation class, and a woman has this dog she adores. And I said, "Do you smoke in the house?" And she said, "Yes." And I said, "Well, what about your dog?" She went, "Oh, I never thought about that." So it's a hazard to pets indoors as well, both the vapor and the smoke.
So right now, excuse me, right now, there's really no regulation about what e-cigarettes can say.
Nope.
And whether there's any destructive, toxic chemicals in them, there's
no
information about
that. We're relying totally on independent sources for that.
So I did notice that the FDA has recently issued a proposal to extend the tobacco authority over e-cigarettes so that they're working on trying to include them in that. Do you know?
They are, and there have been many discussions, and I think one of the things that's very positive that's come out of this is the age. A child can't purchase this item any more than a child can purchase cigarettes, so the age factor will be cemented, but to me that's just a Band-Aid. It's not going deep enough, it's not going far enough, and that's why I'm so appreciative that we're talking about this morning.
And what else is happening around what you're doing with kids and e-cigarettes?
I have to say that the kids in Montezuma County really rock. Our Youth Leadership Council has just put together an amazing piece as part of their contract with us this year, where they deconstruct ads over the different decades, starting in the 20s, the 30s, the 40s. And they look at the advertising and the promises that the industry are making to you for being a smoker, whether it's you're cool, you're bad, you fit, all of these things. And they're telling us, don't let history repeat itself. They lied. And right up to current day, they're looking at e-cigarettes, and they're saying they're cool, they're safe, they're an alternative. And then they pause and say, but don't let history repeat itself. They lied. So our youth, and that's where it has to start. They're getting it. They're beautiful. They're bright. They're wonderful. And I just love them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's great. Anything else that you want to say related to what's happening with e-cigarettes?
No, I just think we really recognize we're not the tobacco Nazis. We prefer to be called the tobacco goddesses. We recognize that nicotine is an addiction. Once you become addicted to it, it's very difficult to break that addiction. And we're here to support, to educate, to offer support, to offer information. We don't judge. And I just want people to know that. We are here. We're your public health department, and we're here for you.
And so they can get support if they're thinking about e-cigarettes and what's going on.
Yes, absolutely. And if I can make a shameless plug, tomorrow at noontime at the Pinion Project, we're having a free lunch. See, they said there's no such thing, but there is. We're having a free lunch for anyone who's thinking about quitting nicotine. So join us noontime tomorrow, Elm Street at the Pinion Project, for a free lunch.
Anytime. Any kind of cigarette, nicotine.
Any kind of nicotine, whether it's chew, smoke, or electronic.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I guess the last thing I'm curious about is, have you seen a decline in the time that you've been working on this project in the use of nicotine in its forms? Or has it stabilized? Or where is it at this point?
I think the statistics statewide show a decline. And we're really happy about that in the past year. We also are seeing that our youth are beginning to experiment more, especially with these e-cigarettes. So that's not a good thing. So a balance.
Okay. Well, thanks so much for joining us, Midge.
Thank you.
This is Pandora's Box, and we've been talking about e-cigarettes, and we'll be back in 2 weeks with another edition of Pandora's Box.